Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood on this beautiful Monday morning. I'm delighted that you're our audience today, and I look forward to our participation in the broadcast. You, our listener, make up the broadcast programming intent, and that is to allow you to hear and be updated on some of the global issues. And as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. God's Word is the ultimate. It's not a matter of philosophy or ideology or some particular denominational rites, rituals, rules, and regulations, but it's what does the Word of God say? Jesus himself said in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about truth today. And some of the truth that we're talking about is that which is not being discussed by way of the fake media. And much of the globalists and those that are on the left and the marginal side of what we call our system in America today. And I'm talking about specifically socialism, communism, and the influence it's having in our process in America out of Washington. We're seeing that unfurl before our eyes. But I want us to understand, as we talk about these things, we do so in an effort to get you, our listener, informed and cause you to be salt and light, as God has charged us with the responsibility of being. Light has no value in a closet. Salt has no value in the shaker. We must come out of the shaker and out of the closet and be salt and light, preserving the society in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about mass shootings and the culture of death. Mass shootings and the culture of death. Ladies and gentlemen, I hear, and I'm sure you do, by way of radio and television and newsprint, what I call the drumbeat for gun control getting louder and louder every day. You see, the tragedy of the mass murder of 17 students in Parkland, Florida, even though it was horrific, it is yet the fake media that's attempting to use that issue to simply disrupt and divide and ultimately destroy our nation's cohesiveness and the constant barrage that we hear with this continual bias from CNN News and other news sources. I'm frightened over it. I don't know if you watched any part of the CNN community discussion in which Senator Marco Rubio and the representative from NRA were publicly demeaned and verbally abused and chided and threats verbally from the audience during that process. I find it appalling that CNN would stoop to such a, I shouldn't say that. It shouldn't be a shock to us, understanding the Clinton Network News or the Communist Network News, however you want to designate it, with their purpose to be doing anything and everything that's against simply the cohesiveness of America and our Constitution. So by now, let me remind us, we all know the majority of the facts in the shooting. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, let me just simply interject this. If you're interested in a dialogue and discussion, perhaps you have grave questions about this scenario and what's taking place, what our politicians are doing in the state of Florida and on a national level. If you have an interest in participating in this dialogue and discussion today, as we talk about mass shootings and the culture of death, you can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. But let me simply get back to the monologue and make a statement here. We know that the majority of the facts are out. Let me just rehearse the majority of the facts. I'm going to do so quickly because I want to get to a point of what do we do about what we know. Many times you hear politicians talking about, well, what do we know? When do we know it? Who knew it? What did we do? Etc. That's basically what I want to think about today. First of all, we know that Nicholas Cruz 19-year-old, killed 17 people. Crew's gun was legally purchased. The armed security at the school simply stood by and watched, did nothing. And by the way, we've discovered that at least three other sheriff's deputies also arrived and delayed some 4 minutes before even attempting to enter the building. And the only reason they attempted to enter the building, and they claim, is because they thought that the shooter had left by that time. And I find it cowardice on the part of the sheriff and his deputies. And we'll talk about that more in our discussion today. The shooter had already left the building. Yes, the shooter had a long record of threats to others. Yes, the shooter was a loner. Yes, the shooter was a danger to himself and to others, as we're finding out today. Now, the cowardice deputy got there, was already there, the school protection officer, the school sheriff's deputy that was assigned to the school campus, was a coward and refused to go in. Now, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I understand some additional side issues come into that picture. I understand the high probability was that the sheriff's office gave a stand-down order for the sheriff's deputies to stand down until the SWAT team arrived. Whether that is true or not, I don't know. Yes, we now know that the FBI failed to follow up on tips that the shooter intended to kill students at that very school. You see, he was suspended, and then he was dismissed. He was expelled from the school in 2016, and I think it was less than 30 days, according to the reports, after that he bought his AR-15 and made the statement he's going back and shoot everybody at the school. Nothing was done. So who or what caused the killings? Would one more gun law have stopped the murders? Would a full ban on weapons have prevented it? Was it the fault of the weapon that he used? Do we ban automobiles because of so many automobile accidents? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, more people are killed every year in automobile accidents than because of guns or gun shootings. More people are called as cause death and mayhem and destruction on society because of alcoholic beverages and drug use than the use of a weapon. But do we ban liquor? Do we ban automobiles? No, we don't do that. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't ban liquor. That's my position, but that's another story for another day. Do we outlaw so-called legal marijuana just because of drug overdoses? The politicians tell us no. But it's an absolute horror going across America with more and more states introducing legislation and approving the sale of marijuana. The state of California with $5.1 billion projected in sales this year, and the state of California getting 38.2% sales tax on it. No wonder the politicians are thriving at the trough of that which is demoralizing, destructive, and destroying our kids in America today. Shouldn't we ban abortion because of the murder? Abortion murders 1.5 million unborn human beings every year. Shouldn't we abandon the practice of abortion? Absolutely we should. Should abortion ever have been considered legal? Absolutely not. Are the leftist liberals right that we should ban those with mental illness from getting a weapon? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that's a very, very horrific danger, and we'll talk about that further in our discussion today, because now some Christians, some people are saying, like on the Always Bashing Christ Network, that's the ABC network, Always Bashing Christians Network, they're saying that Christians are mentally ill. If we talk to Jesus and Jesus talks to us, according to ABC program The View, then we're mentally ill. So there's a major push right now. Listen carefully. There's a major push within the realm of the hierarchy of the governmental agencies and the legislators in Washington and in the state of Florida that are saying, yes, we need to do something about the mentally ill. Now, I challenge that, and I'll do so in a minute in this process that I want us to look at. Let's simply examine our culture today. We're living in a culture of death. And ladies and gentlemen, I find it absolutely sad that we have so much to say in relationship to guns and what should be done when it is not the gun that kills anybody. It's the wicked finger on the trigger. Let me just read you some excerpts from an article that was written by Philip Wim Hof here in Jacksonville. Philip Wim Hof is a professional in our city. He's a physicist, and he had written an article for the column on February the 25th of 2018 in the Jacksonville Opinion column. Let me just read you some excerpts from Philip's well-written, well-researched, well-organized communication on this subject. The title of his article says, "Leftist control of popular culture leads to devaluing life." Here's some blurbs. American society has developed a culture of death due to the advance of leftism. The left's role in media, entertainment, schools, and birth has swept away the shock and the gravity and morality of murder. Another point. He says, prior to the 1950s, movie slayings occurred off-screen out of respect for life. More often, film heroes captured, not killed, the villains. Thirdly, he says, the shock threshold was crossed in 1953 with the movie Shane, when gunslinger Jack Palance shot a man, and a wire was used to hurl the victim backwards to simulate the impact of the bullet hitting him. And he goes further. We're talking about an article in the Florida Times Union, February 25th, written by Philip Wim Hof, a physicist here in the city of Jacksonville. In the 1960s, he said James Bond's license to kill meant that he killed about one thug per movie if they deserved it. Bond now kills scores, he said. Realistic video games go far beyond and allow remorseless personal participation in mass killings. He states further, all this serves to acclimate society to murder and violence, making them cool, commonplace, and rational necessities. Abortion, he says, which scorns the value of human life, became the enterprise centerpiece of the holy sacrament of the major political party, the leftist Democrats, which, by the way, he says, banished God from their platform, and they did. He further says, the left controls the educational system, which shuns moral development in our students in school. Further, he says, a moral conscience is not inborn. Today, where does a child go for development? Not at school, or even at home. Further, he states, society has become secular due to the takeover by leftism. Churches' teachings are not valued anymore. The moral code is self-determined. Biblical literacy is almost zero. Lincoln often quoted the Bible, but today students don't know where those quaint quotations even come from. He further says, undetected to the youth, the American psyche has muted to the culture of ruin. Mutated to the culture of ruin. Two generations ago in rural communities, boys drove to school in their trucks, rifles hanging from the window rack, but no one was killed as a result of it. And the article, let me recommend you go to onlinejacksonville.com, look at it on the opinion page, Philip Wim Hof, a well-written article on February the 25th of 2018. Further, ladies and gentlemen, let me just continue in my monologue in making this statement. May I remind us, as we examine the culture today, we find some of the answers. Let me just give you my take on what we see in culture. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the mass killings and the culture of death. We have born and bred an entire generation, if not more, that live and survive in what is called the culture of death. There's no recognition of the value of life, and may I simply give us several illustrations of that. Let's examine our culture today to find some of the answers. 50 years ago, we had about the same ratio of gun ownership, yet there were no mass murders. 50 years ago, our teens, Philip Wim Hof said in his article, and it's quoted in other places also, drove their trucks to school with the rifles in the rack, and there was no killing as a result of it. 50 years ago, the Wild West movies shown on television did not depict murders. 50 years ago, families ate together, talked together, played together, went to church together, studied the Bible together, had family gatherings and outreach together. 50 years ago, a man and a woman got married before having children. 50 years ago, our politicians and political leaders were concerned with the families and with faith and with the future of America. Does that sound like today's culture? Not on your life. Our nation today has experienced a complete paradigm shift away from God and dependent on government. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just make a statement here. As long as we teach children that it's okay to kill babies in the womb. We will never convince them that it's wrong to kill them in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a horrible statement, but it's an absolute factual statement. So allow me to point to the real culprit in the Parkland school shooting. The shooter grew up without a father, a real father figure. He had no moral, spiritual upbringing. He was in schools where the Bible was banned, prayer was banned, God was kicked out and not welcome in the classroom. The shooter evidently has no restraints on his activities. He did that which was right in his own eyes, which, by the way, is what the Bible says is taking place today, where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, without God, without God's word, without prayer, without any moral, ethical compass, our nation will continue to face future mass murders. You can put all the laws on the books that you'd like, and it's not going to change the mass murder mindset of the culture of death in our society today. Guns are banned in Russia, ladies and gentlemen, but they have church and school stabbings. You hear me? Guns are banned in Russia, but yet there are church and school stabbings in Russia, even of recent. We must enforce the laws on our books. You realize we're talking about, by the ponderings and the pundits and the politicians, that there are mutterings about extending and having a more extensive background check. Ladies and gentlemen, we do that now. Do you realize in 2017, 80,000 felons made application for weapons. 80,000 felons that were rejected. It's against the law. It's illegal. It's a felony for a felon to even make application for a gun permit for having the right to keep and bear arms. 80,000. Do you realize only 44 were prosecuted under that law? If we have a law that says that if you're a felon and you make an application for a gun and you're illegally doing so, and yet we do not uphold the laws on the books that says that you'll be prosecuted for doing so, we prosecute only 44. What's wrong with that picture? How many other gun laws will it take if we're not going to enforce into the laws in the books? In Switzerland, everyone is encouraged to own a weapon and to be armed and have his and her own weapon. And shootings are almost non-existent in Switzerland. What does that tell us? As Wayne LaPierre with the NRA says, and he's been repeated by multitudes, the only way to confront a bad guy with a gun is a good guy having a gun. Yet may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, in Chicago and New York and Baltimore and Detroit, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shootings, and yet nothing is truly being done in relationship to that. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that the Florida legislature just last week rejects a weapons ban in our state. Let me just read you a blurb. Tallahassee, Florida, CNN, the Florida State House on Tuesday rejected a ban on many semi-automatic guns and large capacity magazines. Lawmakers voted down a motion to consider the ban during a session that opened with prayer for the 17 people killed by a former student last Wednesday at the Majority Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. Yes, I'm thankful that they had the backbone to not have a knee-jerk response to the mass murder in Parkland, Florida, and pass some law banning. And by banning any weapon, ladies and gentlemen, you realize any law that bans any part of the right to keep and bear arms, based on my Constitution, is flagrantly unconstitutional. Because the Second Amendment, and I'm reading it right here in the latter portion, it says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed upon. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the privilege of writing and publishing a book just a few years ago on that very subject. I'm holding a copy of it in my hands as I speak. The title of it is The Doctrine of Self-Defense. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the doctrine of self-defense is not given to us by the Constitution. The doctrine of self-defense is not given to American citizens by the government. It's by God. And I will not take time to go into great detail from the book. It's not a major text. It's about 65 pages in depth. But here the authorization I state. In Luke chapter 22, verse 38, the scripture says, "And they said, Lord, behold, he are two swords. And he said unto them, it's enough. But notice going back to the previous few verses in verse 36 of that same text in Luke 22. Then he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that had no sword, let him sell his garment and buy a sword. Ladies and gentlemen, and I could go into multiple scriptures throughout the Bible where God authorizes the doctrine of self-defense. The doctrine of self-defense is given to us by God. It is codified in the Constitution. It is confirmed by the courts to be carried out by we, the people, the citizens. Yes, I believe in the right to keep and bear arms. I believe that a weapon, a gun of any type, is an inanimate object, and it cannot kill anybody. It's the finger that pulls the trigger and the wicked heart that does so. In fact, in Jeremiah 17:9, the scripture says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, there is a time, and that time is today, that we need to turn back to God. We need to recognize the moral, immoral, ungodly culture that we're living in. It is a culture of death. It is a culture that says life in the womb has no value. It's a culture of death that says that old people, when they're infirmed, that they have no value, and therefore just take them out of society. And if that is the case, then where are we to say that if a person walks in with a weapon of any type, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this mantra that's coming out of the fake news that says that, you know, these automatic weapons, the long guns kill more people, that's simply not so. It is the handgun that is the weapon of choice by most mass shootings that we've seen in America and in other places around the world. I believe we have a caller on the line. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment.
It's just a comment today, and I've not been able to hear most of your broadcast today. I've not had access to the radio, but I think you were discussing some things of this youth and the violence and this and that and the other. And folks are right now discussing the potential of impairing the Second Amendment. In my opinion, you know, that Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, it's interesting when you step back to our revolution, individuals in communities, towns, all over these colonies that became the United States, they went out to become part of that militia. When John Peter Gabriel Muhlenberg stood before his congregation and read to them from Ecclesiastes, preached to them, when he left that pulpit and shed his clerical robe, he exposed the military uniform of one of the colonists, and he said, "Who will go with me?" 300 of his members, young and old, followed him into the revolution. Individuals of very young ages, individuals of very old ages. The militia at that time was well recognized as every able-bodied man.
Yes.
Now, today, somehow or another, we've perverted the term militia. We've perverted the meaning of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was not there, put there to protect us from thieves and robbers, but to protect us from tyrants. People go, "Well, you can't take on the U.S. military." We don't know what may become of our nation 10 years from now, 50 years from now, or 100 years from now. We do know that November 11th, 1938, Jews were prohibited from owning firearms, prohibited from owning knives, and had to wear the star. 1938, years, just a short while later, they were being hauled away by the boxcar loads to the ovens. Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, a little over a decade ago, prohibited firearms ownership by individual citizens. Today, Maduro, his replacement, is arming his allies within the country of Venezuela. We've seen this over and over and over and over and over. You know what? I will not give one inch. They're talking about moving the age from 18 to 21. I don't care what if they said we're going to move it from 18 to 18 and a half. The reality is that is an impairment on our Second Amendment rights that shall not be infringed.
But absolutely.
Listen, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your stand. Go get them.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your call. Absolutely correct. Ladies and gentlemen, what you just heard from our caller, Greg, is absolutely, totally correct. We have the mindset somehow, some way that we can ban guns. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to any third world dictatorship nation, and you will find that the way that a dictator takes over and controls is by way of the educational system and then by way of disarming the citizens. And once you have an uneducated, illiterate society that's disarmed, we could be hauled away in the boxcars, as our caller was just talking about, as the Jews were shortly after the 1938 ban, where it said Jews could not own weapons of any type. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holocaust is the good example that we ought to look back on and recognize what could happen in America. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, there's another, if you please, finger to this glove that we need to talk about. We have a lot of folks talking about, and I believe well-meaning, even the president is talking about the mentally ill. The mentally ill ought not to be able to get the weapons. Listen, who's going to call who crazy? You know what I'm saying? Who's going to call who crazy? Listen, I'm looking at an article right here in my hands. It says the feds to give up all our health data to researchers. There's a push now that all of our medical records be given over to the, quote, research community. Do you realize that if your physician has given you a prescription for anything, for depression or for you feeling worried or anxious, etc., and there are all kinds of drugs out there for that, or if you've been determined by your doctor that you're depressed and it's on your medical record and you've received medical attention for that, you could be rated mentally ill. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, just a couple of years ago under the Obama administration, an elderly couple that felt that they were not capable of doing their tax returns and looking at their estate planning, they had someone else to come in and do it for them. And on their income tax return record, they showed that someone else had done the report, and the rationale behind it was that they didn't feel capable and competent with the knowledge to do so. Do you realize they were considered to be mentally ill, and they were summarily notified that if you draw a Social Security check, you can no longer own a weapon, or you cannot receive your Social Security income check. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not fictitious. That's fact. That's not something that is in the future. That's present. That is exactly where we're headed. If we go down this road, this dark path, then calling mental illness. If we allow the federal government to moderate on the laws any further. Now, I understand if a person has been declared insane and he's gone through the process in court and the courts have adjudicated him insane, that is mentally incompetent. I understand that. Have no problem with him not having a weapon. But I do have a major problem with simply summarily saying that anybody that's considered mentally ill cannot have a weapon. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, the majority of our military men that have fought to preserve and protect Americans' safety and security, many of them come back with what's called PTSD, and now they would be considered under that ruling. If that's carried out, they could be considered mentally ill and could no longer have a weapon to defend themselves or their families. We're going down a slippery slope if we think that that is a mechanism to prevent future mass murders. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I believe you can pass all the laws you want to, and it's not going to be effective because it's not going to work to prevent a mass murderer in his heart from going out and carrying out the crime. Ladies and gentlemen, God gave us 10 laws. They're called the 10 Commandments. And if we can't observe the 10 laws and be obedient to that, how in the world are we going to be obedient to 250,000 new laws that's put on the books in America every 12 months? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. We're looking forward to joining you again on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.